Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hello, Shirley fans. Come in out of the rain and hear the jazz go down. This is the real KD. I'd like to welcome you to the Shirley You Can't Be Serious podcast. Here are your hosts, the brothers in arms themselves, Mr. Jason Colvin and Mr. D. Graves. Peace out.
Hey, D, how you doing, man?
Stomach's a little upset. I don't know why. I had French fries for lunch and some French dressing with it, and even ate a little bit of French bread. My stomach was so upset, I drank some Peru.
Peru. Welcome, everybody, back to the Shirley You Can't Be Serious podcast, where this week we are comparing Better Off Dead from 1985, which is turning 40 years old this year, to One Crazy Summer from 86, both Savage Steve Holland movies, both John Cusack movies, both Taylor Negrin movies.
Both Curtis Armstrong movies. Both Rich Little movies.
Not Rich Hall, like I said in the previous episode. No.
Yes.
Sorry about that, everybody.
We have quite a bit of overlap here, and there's one overlap that we missed on our last episode when we were talking about the cast of Better Off Dead.
Ooh, okay.
Amanda Wiss, Vincent Chiavelli, the math teacher.
Yes.
And Taylor Negrin.
Yeah.
Were all in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Wow. That's Taylor a good Negrin, pull right there.
Memorable part. He was the pizza delivery guy, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
Right here, dude. That's great, man.
Yeah.
What is your relationship with One Crazy Summer?
One Crazy Summer, I just remember being excited to see it. I saw it in the theater when I was a kid. I mean, the nice thing about this is these are both very tame movies. I mean, you've got, the most risque scene that you have in Better Off Dead is when he falls and pulls the cheerleader's cheerleading uniform off.
Chris Cummins. She dates the entire basketball team, Lane. Not one member of the team. The whole team.
Yes. And she was beautiful, but they kept her in a bra and panties. I mean, for the 80s, that's very tame. And then I think you pointed out the most risque scene in One Crazy Summer is like a cartoon scene with the little slutty.
The drawings are so
fuzzy bunny.
The fuzzy bunnies are a little nipply.
Yeah. We don't do this, the fuzzy bunnies win.
That's it. I mean, I watch this movie all the time on HBO.
Yeah.
Well, I watch both of these movies all the time on HBO.
Yeah.
I was going to bring this up because I think this is interesting. So One Crazy Summer is released August 9th of 1986.
Okay.
Okay. It was shot in the summer of 85.
Right.
We mentioned this a little bit in the previous episode. This is before Demi Moore blew up.
Right.
Sorry,
your mom blew up, Ricky.
Really sorry your mom blew up. Demi Moore was in a romantic comedy it's kind of a romantic dramedy with Rob Lowe and Jim Belushi. It's called About Last Night.
Yep. David Mamet script.
Yes.
Yeah.
That came out a month prior to One Crazy Summer.
Yeah. They actually filmed One Crazy Summer before they filmed About Last Night. Just flip-flopped on when the release dates were.
I'm not going to be crude, but I'm going to say that About Last Night fascinated a 13-year-old Jason.
There's a couple of scenes that are a little bit fuzzy on the VCR copy from overplay.
Demi was captivating.
Okay. Yeah. Well.
So there you go. That's all.
Captivated Bruce Willis with that scene, I think.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah.
One Crazy Summer starts off with a graduation scene, which I mentioned before. Say Anything starts off with a graduation scene. Mm-hmm. 3 years later.
Right.
And John Cusack maintains the same age, which is cool. But the high school, I don't know if you noticed, did you notice the name of the high school?
No.
Generic High School. Nantucket. Which I thought was funny.
It's hilarious.
Right? Another funny scene before we get into casting. There's lots of little cute stuff.
Sure.
I thought, first of all, this movie really captures that sort of innocent time of I'm out of school. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't really have anything going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I have nothing better to do than just hang out with my buddies and do whatever we're doing.
Go to the beach.
Go to the beach.
Yeah.
Right. And in fact, some people have called One Crazy Summer Better Off Dead Goes to the Beach.
I mean, it's the same thing, right? It's
right.
John Cusack obsessed with the blonde girl when really it's the brunette he should be after, right?
That's exactly it, right? Yeah. There's one really funny moment in the very first of this movie. He's talking to Demi Moore. You can tell that they're kind of cozying up to each other. They got something blossoming, possibly. And he's like, I just love the smell of the air, the summer air.
But this is a big boat. A lot of safety equipment. I can see the land. Clean, fresh air. Chili dog.
And right as he does that, the guy shoves a chili dog. He's like, chili dog.
Right.
It's just cute humor like that. It's sort of Nickelodeon humor, if yeah. you know.
Yeah. Well, and then this one, you know, we're going to talk casting here in a second, but that's some of the most interesting stuff is the various cast and how it came to be on this thing. So let's get into
it. Let's get into it, man.
All right.
All right. So we have John Cusack back.
As Hoops.
Hoops McCann.
Do you know where the name comes from?
Tell me.
Comes from a Steely Dan song.
Steely Dan. Fire up the Yacht Rock documentary. Oh, no, wait. They hate that.
Yes, right. The best part of that whole movie is that end scene. But yeah, the song's name is Glamour Profession. Hoops McCann comes from that song.
I love it. The fact, you know, you mentioned the fact that it's like calling somebody who's giant, tiny.
Mm-hmm.
The fact they're calling him Hoops. It's not because he's great at basketball. It's
the opposite.
He is actually, like, he's never made a shot in his life.
Right.
He loves basketball. He's just terrible at it.
Even if the backboard is Curtis Armstrong's face and he can move his arms to help, he still can't get it in the hole.
And, you know, there's that scene where he's drawing a picture, he wads it up, and he throws it, and there's a little basketball hoop over his trash can, and literally there's hundreds of pieces of paper around the trash can.
Yeah.
Nothing has gone in the basket.
Yeah. I identified with that. Not good at basketball.
So, as we said, I don't know if you listened to our last episode.
I did. I did.
I did too.
I listened to it.
John Cusack was in a fight with Savage Steve Holland during the filming of One Crazy Summer.
20 minutes into watching Better Off Dead, he walked out and then bawled Savage Steve Holland out, saying he tricked him and ruined his career.
Don't talk to me.
Yeah.
I'm never trusting you again.
Yeah.
You deceived me.
Yeah.
Burned down the bridges, never spoke to Savage Steve Holland during the entire filming. How do you do that? I mean,
yeah. And I think Savage Steve Holland, being the tenderhearted guy we discussed, you know, he took it to heart. Like he stopped doing live action movies pretty much after that. He just
drove him out of the business a little
bit.
Yeah,
I mean, he went and did animation and Eek the Cat and stuff like that.
That's right.
Oh, by the way, there's an interesting thing. So Bill Kopp is the guy who's doing the animation in One Crazy Summer.
The nipply fuzzy bunnies.
The fuzzy bunnies, and there's a couple extra special funny fuzzy bunnies that we're going to talk about.
Right.
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 Bill Kopp is the guy who's doing that animation. He would go on just 3 years later to do animation on the Tracy Ullman show of a new little bit called The Simpsons.
The Simpsons. That's incredible.
And then of course they worked together again when they did Eek the Cat. But yeah, Bill Kopp was same guy who did the animation on that, did the original animation on The Simpsons.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Fantastic. Demi Moore plays Cassandra Eldridge in this movie.
Yes.
Okay. Demi Moore had a fantastic late 80s and 90s.
Yes.
This is pre-mega hot Demi.
Yeah.
But she's eye-catching for sure.
Oh, I told Jeff Johnson when we covered this movie, I was all about her because she reminded me of Lisa from The Revolution. Like, she's playing her guitar up there. She has the kind of cool hair. They have similar facial features. And I thought both of them were totally hot, so.
I think you're talking about Wendy.
Was it Wendy?
Yeah.
Wendy plays the guitar?
Yes.
Okay, well, they were all together.
Go back to our Purple Rain episode.
Hello, Lisa. Hello, Wendy.
Is the water warm enough? Here's the thing I wanted to bring up. Demi Moore.
Yes.
Is the first actress to command $10 million.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Can you name the movie that she got paid $10 million for?
I'm going to guess it's either Indecent Proposal or G.I. Jane.
You would be wrong on both.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
What do you got? Hit me.
10 years after One Crazy Summer.
Uh-huh.
In 1996.
Striptease?
Striptease.
That awful dumpster fire is, she's the first, woo.
Yes, but she has never looked better. My gosh.
I haven't seen it. After I saw Showgirls, I wasn't going to watch another stripper movie. I was just like, no. I don't want to ruin naked women for the rest of my life.
Wait a minute. That is a match made in heaven. That is a Shirley matchup. Striptease versus Showgirls.
What the heck happened?
What the heck happened?
I'm down. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okay. Put it on the calendar.
All right. Now, here's my little tidbit on Demi Moore.
Okay.
I mean, we've lived with her. We know a million things about her.
Sure, yeah.
Bruce Willis and her kids.
She just won a Golden Globe, by the way, I think.
She did.
For The Substance, which I've, half of my friends are like, oh, it's so amazing. The other half of my friends are like, it is the worst piece of crap movie I've ever seen. I haven't seen it. I don't know. So I don't know.
Interesting.
The ones who don't like it, it's like, they're like, okay, okay, okay. And then the payoff is like, makes you angry. I don't know what it is. I don't know what about the end of it's going to make you angry, but there you go.
If you've seen it, let hear from, you know, yeah. Hit us up.
No, don't hit us up. I want to watch it. Don't okay. spoil it for me.
Don't hit us up.
Tell Jason, not me.
Email us and say hi. I watched
don't email us. I read those things. You hit up Jason on on Twitter or whatever.
Don't talk to D. Okay. This is no my spoilers. Tidbit on Demi Moore.
Yeah.
She has appeared on magazine covers every single year since 1980. This is the year 2025.
Wow.
She has appeared on a magazine cover every single year since 1980.
45 years of appearing on magazine covers. That's impressive.
That is impressive.
I don't know. I wonder if anybody else holds that. I mean, who's not just
a
model.
I think that is a lone distinguisher for her.
Wow. Crazy.
Okay.
Okay. Good one.
Curtis Armstrong is back. He plays Ak-Ak.
Yep.
Your dad said you were collecting shells. Shells! 57 millimeter! My dad gets 12 bucks a piece for them. They make great paperweights. Hi, I'm Ak-Ak. Let's get out of here!
We talked about him.
Speaking of Bruce Willis, moonlighting.
That's right.
Yeah.
He played whatever his goofy sidekick friend was in Moonlight. I can't remember his name now.
Yeah.
Mr. Pesto's love interest.
Yep.
But he's world famous for playing Booger, and he was hired because Savage Steve Holland liked his performance in Risky Business.
Correct.
Okay?
Yep.
Bobcat Goldthwait.
Let me tell you a story about a little fat boy that nobody loved, and that all the other kids, they used to make fun of him, and they would pick on him. And then they used to say that he talks funny and stuff.
This one is a great story, by the way.
Okay.
Okay, so we're covering casting right now, right? And so Bobcat Goldthwait was among several people who auditioned for the part of Hoop's best friend that Joel Murray ends up getting.
Okay.
The movie originally did not have the Stork twins.
Okay.
It had one stork.
Uh-huh.
Bobcat Goldthwait goes in and auditions for, was it?
Egg Stork.
No. The best friend. His name is...
George Calamari.
Calamari. I was like, I know it's a seafood. What
right,
is it?
Right.
So he auditions for that part. And after the audition, Savage Steve Holland says, listen, you're not right for this part, but I love what you're doing. Let me write a part for you, and that's how the Stork twins become brothers instead of just one character.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah, so he wrote the part specifically for Bobcat Goldthwait. And I got another juicy nugget that I'm going to tell you about in a minute on Bobcat Goldthwait, but not right now.
Okay, I've got something on him real quick.
Okay.
I don't want to steal your thunder, but did you see the Tonight Show appearance that he had with Jay Leno?
I think you sent me a YouTube clip of it. Is this the one where he sets the chair on fire?
Set the chair on fire.
Yeah.
And Jay Leno wanted to kill him.
Okay.
He turns around. He puts some sort of accelerant on fluid, and just lights that sucker on fire.
And then he tries to walk off the stage and totally slips and falls on the lighter fluid, right?
Yeah. And Leno is super like, you put out this fire. You know, it was a really bad deal.
Yeah.
And I know John Reed can't stand Bobcat Goldthwait.
Really?
Yeah.
Not a Police Academy fan?
You know, he's really good in Police Academy. And I think he's
Police
good
Academy
in this movie.
Police Academy 2.
Police Academy 2. That's right.
Because there were a lot of unanswered questions from Police Academy 1.
That's right.
Yes.
I've got a funny story I'll tell you after we talk about Joel Murray.
Okay.
Joel Murray, who plays George Calamari.
Yes.
That's Hoops' best friend.
Yes.
Oh, no! Oh, please, your enormous is anything but chili.
That's Bill Murray's little brother, Brian Doyle Murray's little brother.
Yes.
He auditioned for the part of George Calamari.
Right.
When he saw Jeremy Piven, who is actually John Cusack's best friend.
Roommates.
They were roommates.
Roommates, yeah.
Come in to audition. He's like, well, I'm not going to get this part.
Yeah.
John Cusack's best friend is auditioning for the part of best friend.
Yeah.
No chance.
Right. He probably didn't know that John Cusack had just told Savage Steve Holland that he could go jump off of ship.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Well, the sailboat.
Yeah. Your best friend is now your enemy. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, of course, Jeremy Piven didn't get that part.
No. Nope.
He gets the part of like
sidekick to
bad
the
kid,
bully.
Bad guy number two. Right.
Yeah.
But when Bobcat Goldthwait and Joe Murray show up to set, first thing they do is like, well, let's go meet Cusack, right? Do you know the story?
No.
So Joe Murray's like, I know where his room is. Let's go down and meet him, right? Mm-hmm. So Bobcat Goldthwait and Joe Murray go down to John Cusack's room, knock on his door, mm-hmm. and they go inside, and they're shaking hands. Hey, how you doing? Good to meet you. We're doing this project, whatever. Bobcat Goldthwait spies with his little eye an American Express card that belongs to John Cusack.
Okay.
So he writes down the numbers, and then like throughout the course of the movie, he buys things and has them shipped to John Cusack's room. Which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It was a great one. Yeah.
So we talked about who auditioned for Calamari.
Yes.
And we mentioned that Bobcat Goldthwait did.
Yes.
And that Jeremy Piven did.
Yes.
And obviously Joel Murray did.
Yes.
Do you know who option
no.
number?
No.
Robert Downey Jr. auditioned and did not get the part.
What?
Yes.
For best friend?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But you keep in mind, this is 1985, right?
It is.
And he's not the Robert Downey Jr. that we know today.
Well, you think about it. He played in Back to School. He was like best friend, sidekick.
Exactly.
Nobody.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And Weird Science. He's, you know, not
batty
even that.
Number two. Yeah.
Batty number two. Exactly.
Yeah. So old man Beckerstead is played by William Hickey.
The blessing.
You couldn't hear a dump truck drive through a nitroglycerin plant.
Did I pass gas?
Did the room clear out? And he plays the old man in the wheelchair.
Great.
Has this guy ever been young?
No.
He was probably 25 when he played this part.
Exactly.
That's hilarious. He was a very influential acting teacher for a lot of people
that were
big stars. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Since I can't wait any longer on my
I'm dying for this nugget.
You,
before we started recording, you're like, oh my gosh. And so excited. Now I'm on the edge of my seat. I want to know what this mind blowing tidbit is.
I want to talk about Kimberly Foster for a second.
Okay.
She plays Cookie.
Okay.
Who is Teddy's girlfriend, but Hoops is kind of half love interest.
She's flirting hard with him.
She's
one.
Like Delilah, right? She's the evil seductress.
Right. She's got the best freaking Ford Bronco I've ever seen in a movie.
Not only that,
yeah.
but she's rocking that two-piece.
Yes.
And in 1986, I might be picking her over Demi Moore in 86.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
In 96, I'm picking Demi Moore.
But, sure. Yeah.
But here's the thing. I mentioned to you...
a little medical procedure later. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I saw about last night. Yeah. That's before. She's from Arkansas.
Really?
She's from Fort Smith, Arkansas.
That's where I'm from.
Exactly.
Okay.
She's from Boonville. Do you know where Boonville is?
Well, Boonville is not Fort Smith. It's a small town outside of Fort Smith. But okay. We played Boonville in high school.
In
yeah.
sports?
Yeah, I went to Greenwood High School. Boonville was kind of a nemesis, actually.
She was a cheerleader for that team.
Oh, wow.
Any chance you were in the stands at the same time?
How old when she born?
61, I think.
Oh, well, that's 14 years before I was born. So at kindergarten, at 5 years old, she'd have been 19. So I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my nugget.
Okay.
All right. So Kimberly Foster she was Cookie. She'd been in a couple of soap operas and, I mean, you know, TV spots here and there, not much going on. But she looks great in this movie.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
She had a relationship with a famous person that we've talked about.
Okay.
In 1985/1986.
Okay.
Same time period, keep in mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, two people.
Okay. She had a relationship she with two people?
She had a relationship with this one guy.
Uh-huh.
And then this other guy.
Okay.
And we've talked about this. Okay. One of those peoples was Jack Wagner. And the other person.
Is it Nikki Sixx?
Is Nikki Sixx.
Shut up. She yes. was the girl.
I don't know if she was the girl, but she was a girl.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Explain what? Why your mind is blown.
Well, because that's the. So.
I don't think it's the same person because he called her Nicole.
Yeah. I mean, oh gosh.
But I guess it could be.
I mean, it would be really weird. It would be really weird. But like he basically, Nikki Sixx was severely addicted to heroin at the time.
Right.
And he talks to people about going and breaking Jack Wagner's legs. And then that Monday, Jack Wagner shows up with a broken leg and the girlfriend is like, oh my gosh, did you really do it? No, he fell off the stage. It was just this weird kind of coincidence that, you know, Nikki Sixx had hired somebody to go break his legs, and then he did it on him. He did it all on his own
in a jealous rage.
Yeah,
because they were sharing the same girl.
Yeah,
Nikki Sixx hated Jack Wagner.
How many times has Jack Wagner come up in a Shirley You Can't Be Serious podcast?
Okay,
I can't even keep track.
Once again,
it's nuts.
Jack Wagner had a one-hit wonder called "All I Need," and Nikki Sixx responded by writing a song for the Girls, Girls, Girls album called. You're All I Need.
Yeah.
As a FU to Jack Wagner over this shared girlfriend.
It's crazy. And this girl from Boonville, Arkansas. Oh my goodness.
Could be her.
Wow.
Cookie from One Crazy Summer.
You exceeded my expectations. Wow. Wow.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
Okay.
Good.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Mark Metcalf is in this movie.
Yes, yeah.
He plays Niedermeyer in Animal House,
yep.
which we've talked about.
He's the mean dad in the Twisted Sister videos.
Right?
Yep. He's good at being the mean dad.
He's great, right?
Yeah.
He also has something in common with Bobcat Goldthwait. They've both been in Twisted Sister videos.
I got a good mind to slap your fat face.
John Matusak
yeah.
plays Stain. We just got done speaking about John Matusak. Last episodes.
Yeah, when we were talking about the Goonies. John Matusak is a professional football player who became an actor.
Yes.
And this is probably the third time I've said it in these podcasts that we've done, but he was playing for both leagues, which wasn't allowed, and they had to serve him papers on the field of cease and desist. You cannot be playing for both of these.
Incredible.
AFL and NFL or whatever it was. Then, yes. So then he's the pink hair at the beginning, the pink haired biker guy that's chasing after Demi Moore that John Cusack ends up saving by doing the thing with the cash or whatever. He goes on to play Sloth in the Goonies.
Baby Ruth?
Yes, he plays
such
Sloth.
A memorable part. And then the poor guy is so caught up in drugs and alcohol that he ends up dying of an overdose a couple years after this.
Tragic.
It is tragic.
Hey, I want to talk about that scene for just a second since we're here.
Okay.
So the motorcycle guy, John Matusak,
yep.
Stain, mm-hmm. is chasing Cassandra. Mm-hmm. She, Demi Moore's character, she runs into the bathroom. She hides into the stall. But before she does, she hides a bunch of cash in the paper towel holder.
Yep.
Well, John Cusack, he comes in and he doesn't know she's hiding there. Anyway, he goes to take a paper towel out and $100 bill falls out.
Yep.
And so he realizes, well, they're looking for this. So he grabs the wad of cash that belongs to her that she's trying to hide and protect from this guy. Mm-hmm. And he turns around and he's like, hey guys, you looking for this? And just like throws the money. I'd be like, thanks a lot, you jerk. I had that hidden.
Yeah, and you just effed it all up.
And you just screwed the whole pooch.
Yeah.
But instead, she falls in love with him.
Yeah.
So.
It's an 80s movie.
Right. Okay, I want to bring up Matt Mulhern to you.
Okay.
He plays Teddy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You touched my car!
Right, well, let me just get it clean then.
You touched it again! Don't ever touch my car!
I'm not so sure he doesn't do a better job of being the bully than Aaron Dozier, who played Stalin in Better Off Dead.
He is also great. Definitely.
He is awesome.
Top notch. Love the swim scene where he's got the floaties on his arms. I mean, the absurdity of some of this stuff. Like, I watch some of these Dan Schneider shows that my kid watch, and I'm like, this is such dumb comedy. But I go back and watch these movies, and I'm like, okay, well, I was laughing at the same ridiculous stuff back in 1986.
Right. The ludicrous scene where there's lobsters, like, pinned to their bathing suits, clearly not attached.
Right.
Just looks stupid.
Right.
Okay, I want to bring something up about him. So he plays this great bully.
Uh-huh.
I don't really see, he played, like, a military dad in a TV show in the early 90s. He's done some stuff. Yeah, okay. He made a career until about 2015.
Okay.
Then he quits. He goes back to Fordham University, and he's working on his PhD in history, which I think is fascinating.
Cool.
But before he does that, in 2005, he writes and directs two movies.
Okay.
Okay.
2005.
One is called Walking to the Waterline, and one is called Dwayne Hopwood.
Okay.
Never heard of him?
No.
Dwayne Hopwood stars David Schwimmer.
Okay.
Friends, right?
Right.
Ross.
Ross, yeah.
And Roger Ebert called Dwayne Hopwood one of 2005's best films.
Okay.
Written and directed by Matt Mulhern, who plays Teddy.
Wow. Well, I kind of want to watch it now.
I know, right?
Okay. Interesting. So, okay, good. Okay. Yeah.
You also have Rich Little, who's playing the radio DJ.
Yep.
Okay, which... when I saw this in the theater, that maybe got the biggest laugh from me.
Uh-huh.
Because the uncle is trying to play that win $1 million thing.
Right, right.
It could be any moment.
Yes.
Any second. And he keeps trying to go to the bathroom. He's like, but it's not right now. And this poor guy is just suffering all summer trying to win this $1 million.
Right.
And then he finally wins the contest
mm-hmm.
because he's the number 7 caller after they play the jingle, whatever. And then he's walking around, and like the Tasmanian devil, he unplugs the radio from the wall.
The phone.
And they're like, oh, sorry, we're disconnected. They go, next caller. And then she wins, and he takes a rocket launcher and destroys the radio station.
Yeah.
At the very end of the movie, which I thought was really funny.
Hysterical.
Then you've got Tom Villard, who plays Clay Stork.
Right. Tom Villard, the other twin, not Bobcat Goldthwait, but the tall guy who gets beat up, which
he's
is the impetus.
Smacked in the head. Yeah.
Yeah. He hit you.
Yes.
Yeah. And then it's a great payoff because they chop his car up.
That was a great reveal.
It was a great reveal.
He loves that Ferrari. You know, at the very beginning, he's like, you touched my car. He's like, what? You touched my car.
Right.
So they chop up his Ferrari, and it becomes the engine for the...
How they win the race.
That's it.
Yeah.
Tom Villard studied under Lee Strasberg,
okay.
which we talked about, especially in our...
Godfather episode. Godfather Part 2, to be precise.
That's right.
Played Roth, Eli Roth.
That's right. He's the bad guy.
Yeah.
They're all bad guys.
I mean, Strasberg is very well known as one of the most influential acting teachers of the 1950s.
That's right.
Yeah, 60s.
Tom Villard passed away at age 41.
AIDS.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Taylor Negrin is also in this. He plays Taylor.
There you go.
Right.
And he's with Rich Hall.
Thank you.
Not Rich Little. And they're making fun of Bosco, the poor ugly dog.
Yes.
And
Bosco.
Squid rolls the window up and gets their ties.
That's funny.
It's great.
Rich Hall was on Not Necessarily the News, which is a show on HBO.
Yep. I remember it.
And they had a little segment called Sniglets.
Yeah. He made... probably a boatload of money because he like made books out of Sniglets, right?
I own at least 3 of those books.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
Words that not in the dictionary, but should be.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
I remember one was Schlitstop, somebody who could play softball and also drink beer at the same time.
Go play Schlitstop.
That's right. One other person I want to bring up is Billie Bird. She plays the grandmother who charges them for the food.
Yes.
And she was the grandma also in 16 Candles.
Yes.
And she's hilarious. All right. So that is the end of casting for One Crazy Summer, unless you got something else.
Okay. So this is, we're past casting, but there's the cast member that I've got to bring up. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you remember in One Crazy Summer, there's this, the drive-in movie scene, right?
Yeah.
Where he goes and gets the ridiculously large popcorn, right?
And he's hiding in the bushes in the front seat.
Right. But they're watching this movie, which is obviously a horror movie. And I'm watching this thing and I'm thinking, this has got to be a ripoff of Thriller, right? She's even yelling, Michael, Michael.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just like, oh, okay. So I'm thinking Savage Steve Holland ripped off Thriller.
Right.
Well, here's what happened instead. Savage Steve Holland didn't direct that little extra movie that they're, because it's not a real movie. It's one that they made for this movie.
Right, right.
The one who did direct it
yes.
is Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yes.
He's like, Bob K. Goldthwait's like, are you going to direct this other movie? You're going to do it? And he's like, unless you know somebody. He's like, yeah, I'll do it. And so he had his own separate crew, separate lighting. Everything was different, which is why it looks different. But Bobcat Goldthwait is the one who directed the movie that is playing at the drive-in movie in One Crazy Summer.
I love that. That's so good.
Jeff and I talked about this, I was like, wouldn't it be cool if we actually saw what that movie was? Like when he does his prequel thing, I'm like, what if it was that movie? And then we're watching One Crazy Summer as at the drive-in in that movie. That's nice.
Trivia question.
Yeah.
Do you know the name of that movie? Like the fictional name of the movie?
No.
Chainsaw Date and Hemorrhoids from Hell.
Right. Okay, all right,
that does it for casting. Are we on to tidbits? What do you want to do?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right,
blow my mind, man.
Okay, all right, let's stay right here on One Crazy Summer. I got some tidbits for you here. Okay,
yep.
So there is a teddy bear, a little teddy bear that George's grandmother gives to his sister.
Yes,
that is the same little teddy bear that Lane is going to give to Beth.
Such a throwaway scene. You don't hear her voice. You just hear him talking to her on the phone. And he's like, oh, Roy bought you what? A giant teddy bear? And he's got the little tiny little palm-sized teddy bear. Cutest thing ever. Yeah. Well, I got to go. The Christmas tree's on fire. That's
right. Okay, so this movie was shot in Nantucket.
Yep.
And they're one of the little subplots of this movie is that they're filming a movie.
There once was a girl from Nantucket. Sorry, I can't finish the rest of that.
Right. But they're filming a movie there.
Yep.
Remember what the movie is?
The rabid dolphin
with rabies, right?
Yes, yeah.
Foam 2. Does that sound like any other movie you might have heard?
Yes. And if you listen to the film by that I did with Jeff Johnson, I so frustrated him on this.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the movie, they're filming this rabid dolphin Jaws ripoff movie, right?
Right, right, right.
Okay. And then key moment in this movie is the big boat race, right?
Yes.
You have this fantastic montage where they take this old crappy boat and you see them painting and making it beautiful and all this other stuff.
80s montage. Love it.
80s montage. And right after the 80s montage, you have this kind of, you know, filler B-roll scene, right? Now, I am a busy guy, and so I don't usually get to watch a whole movie in one sitting anymore.
Yeah.
And so I've watched 3/4 of this movie, and then I'm like watching the rest of it on the phone as I'm, you know, in the gym waiting for my kid to come back with the car or whatever, right? And I'm watching this on my phone, and it's this little B-roll thing, and I just kind of, I glance at it, I'm like, what the heck did I just see? And I do the little double tap, I get it to go back 10 seconds, and in this little transitional B-roll thing, they're out on the boat docks, it's morning, the sun's just coming up, and you see a shooting star go across the sky. And I'm like, holy crap, that is fantastic, because it's right out of Jaws, right? Everybody knows that
the shooting star,
because they're like, Spielberg, how'd you do it? He's like, I got lucky. It just happened. But Savage Steve Holland is a genius, and he throws this in without telling anybody. Obviously an homage to that scene. And I texted Jeff Johnson. I'm like, did you catch the falling star?
Yeah.
He said he was playing golf when I sent the text, and he was like, he was so excited to tell me about this scene. Thought he was going to blow my mind. And he was like, son of a bitch.
I love that they don't really even pause to take time for you to look at it. It's just, if you know Jaws really well, then you recognize it.
Wink and a nod, as subtle as it can be. Oh, it's great.
So good, right? So clearly, Foam 2 is based on Jaws.
Jaws, right.
Yeah, okay.
It came out after Jaws 3, probably was better.
Foam 2, right?
Go check out our Jaws 3, What the Heck Happened episode.
Yes, okay. And then one thing I wanted to bring up about Ack-Ack.
Yep.
The name Ack-Ack is such a weird name, right?
It is, yeah.
So Ack-Ack is the airport call letters for the island of Nantucket.
Ah.
Right?
Okay.
A-C-K.
Okay, yeah.
So they just took that and they're like, okay, well, character's name is Ack-Ack.
Yeah, his dad.
Yep.
And we talked about how these are autobiographical, and his dad was like, you're going to go to military school to Savage Steve Holland. If you don't get into Cal Arts, you're going to go to military school, right?
Yep, right.
And so John Flaherty, it's John, right? John Flaherty is the actor who plays the dad from SCTV.
Yes.
And if you don't remember him from SCTV, you might remember him from Happy Gilmore. He's the jackass.
That's it.
That's him. Yep.
Oh, good call.
Yeah.
How did I miss him?
Yep.
Okay. Let's flip back over to One Crazy Summer for a second.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, we're talking about One Crazy Summer, but okay.
So Drew Struzan.
Yes.
Maybe the greatest movie poster artist of all time.
Yes, certainly top of the conversation.
We just talked about how he did Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Yep.
He then does The Goonies.
Yeah.
Also in 85, he does
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future. And Better Off Dead.
Better Off Dead. Yeah.
How about that? I just read you a little post on Facebook. He's got Alzheimer's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's struggling.
Tragic. Yeah, it's tragic.
Can't do it anymore.
His wife said he is not enjoying retirement. He's struggling to live. So God bless her and going through that. I hope it's easy. And yeah.
That's right. Okay.
Before we get to Better Off Dead.
Okay.
I got one more tidbit for you. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So we mentioned in our last episode that Savage Steve Holland, whenever he was a young boy, he would make movies at home.
Yeah.
Which starred his sister.
Yes.
Whose nickname was?
Squid.
Squid, just like the sister in One Crazy Summer.
Right.
When Calamari comes in with the trashy hot girls, one of them is his real Savage Steve Holland's sister, Squid.
That's yes. Great. I love that. That's a good one, man.
Yep.
Okay. Tidbit on Better Off Dead.
Okay.
One of the most memorable scenes from Better Off Dead is this little daydream break that we take where there's a Van Halen playing Hamburger.
Yeah.
And swimming French fries.
Everybody wants some from Women and Children First, right?
That's right.
Okay, yeah.
So that was actually not part of the original script.
Yeah, it was like going to be a fried rat. Like from Savage Steve Holland when he worked in fast food, he had heard that somebody actually ate fried rat because a rat had fallen into the fryer or whatever. Yeah.
There's all those urban legends.
Right.
He worked at McDonald's. He heard about some rat that got fried up as a hamburger.
Uh-huh.
They were going to put that in the movie, and one of the producers was like, that's not funny. That's just disgusting.
Right.
So they had to come up with something else, and they came up with the Van Halen playing hamburger.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Right. And everybody, the producers still thought it was stupid. It was the most talked about scene after they did their screening for
really
test audiences. Yes.
How about that?
Yeah. You never know.
That goes right hand in hand with the Van Halen brothers and the Wilson sisters story.
Don't give it away. Go listen to that episode.
Go listen to our heart episode.
By the way, he's working at the pig burger place, whatever that is, Rocco's place, right?
Pat Pig.
This is a push. This is Pat.
And there's a poster up of a woman, you know, in a chef's hat, back to the camera, probably definite 80s, you know, babe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everybody wants some across right. It, like it's the slogan of the restaurant or whatever.
Yes.
I would kill to have that poster.
I would too.
It's so cool.
I would love to have that.
Yeah.
Okay. At the very end of Better Off Dead.
Yeah.
In the credits.
Yeah.
At the very end, it says, the film's over. You can go now.
Does Matthew Broderick say it? Or?
That predates Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Really?
Why are you still here?
Exactly.
Go home.
Cute, right?
Yeah, that's awesome. In Better Off Dead, you have some of those kind of end scenes going on while they're doing the first part of the credits. As he's going in and fixing stuff, the dad is doing stuff, right?
Yeah, and Badger's space shuttle takes off out of the house.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Couple of things on Better Off Dead.
Okay.
We talked about how Savage Steve Holland's real-life girlfriend left him for the ski instructor,
right?
Where it really hurt him bad and made him even slightly suicidal. And when she saw the movie, his ex-girlfriend, she felt so bad that she contacted him, apologized, and then even had to go to therapy because she felt horrible about this.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Real life. The $2 kid, the newspaper kid.
Yeah.
That's based on real life story.
Okay.
This one kid kept wearing him out about the $2 for their newspaper subscription.
That's awesome.
Based on real life.
I heard that his mom, who bawled him out whenever he tried to hang himself and broke the water pipe, right?
Right.
That she actually gave him a gift of a TV dinner because it had the corn. He liked the corn. Yes.
You like corn.
Yeah.
The movie tagline for Better Off Dead had to be changed. Did you hear this story?
Yeah. It was like, sometimes you're better off dead. And they're like, no, that's not, we can't be, I mean, you right. know, you got Judas Priest and Suicide Solution stuff going on right then.
That's right, yeah.
Relax, you're not better off
that's
dead.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Okay, I want to talk to you about the soundtrack just real quickly. Okay?
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah. Both of these movies, you've got some crazy songs.
You've got a great soundtrack, right?
It's nuts, yeah. Okay. I mean, the use of songs. I mean, we talked about this when we talked about Nerds, right? The Revenge of the Nerds?
Yeah.
Where, I mean, you've got a good 3 minutes worth of Thriller playing at the party
scene.
How
did they get a hold of that?
It's crazy. And the same kind of thing for both of these movies. You've got some really well-known songs being played. I mean, Van Halen.
You've got Van Halen and Better Off Dead.
Yeah.
You've got Would I Lie to You by the Eurythmics in yeah. the flat middle of One Crazy Summer.
Yeah, and a couple of Beach Boys songs.
You got Beach Boys. Hello, Deaf Dave.
Yeah.
Are you awake?
Yeah.
So Better Off Dead, you've got this guy named Rupert Hine who does a lot of the songs, okay?
Yep.
Now, he was a producer. He had worked with The Fix.
Okay.
One Thing Leads to Another.
Yep.
Big 80s hit.
Yeah. Right?
And so
In 85, right? I think that might have been on a top 10 list when we were talking about Heart.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Maybe so. Okay. So he does a couple of known songs. One of them is called Arrested by You. Okay. Kind of the love theme of Better Off Dead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Right? Covered in 1990 by Dusty Springfield. That ring a bell to you?
Yeah, Dusty Springfield is the one who did Son of a Preacher
That's
Man.
It.
Yeah.
And What Have I Done to Deserve This with the Pet Shop Boys.
Okay.
Right?
Right, yeah.
Okay. Then you have another song called Dancing in Isolation,
mm-hmm.
sung by Terry Nunn.
Oh, from Berlin.
From Berlin.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
Take My Breath Away.
Yeah.
And then you actually have a couple of songs by E.G. Daly.
Okay.
You've got, of course, the Van Halen song. And then you also have another song by Howard Jones.
Oh, really?
The song is called Like to Get to Know You Well. That's the song they play while they're fixing the Camaro.
Oh, okay.
And
I didn't even notice. Yeah, don't give it away. But yeah, go check out our top five of 1985 because I got a song from Howard Jones on there.
All right. Are we to Final Judgment?
Yeah, I think it's time.
Okay. Before we do.
Yeah.
Roger Ebert and Gene Siskel hated Better Off Dead.
They could not have been more
cruel,
visceral, just awful, spitting vile all over this. Had nothing positive to say
yeah.
about this. And it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible that they would do this to this wonderful. I mean, it probably was the reason that this movie didn't do well because we've been doing this for years now, and when Better Off Dead comes up, people go nuts. They're like, this is such a great movie that was so unappreciated. And it's, I have to think, partially due to the bad reviews it was getting from the critics when it's such a wonderful little.
It's so
perfect
sweet.
80s high school comedy.
It's
yeah.
funny. It's absurd. It's sweet. It's genuine. Both of these movies. And yeah. so Savage Steve Holland responded by having a couple of the fuzzy bunnies.
Look very similar to, well, one is kind of heavy and has glasses and the other one is tall and thin and
yeah.
get massacred or something.
With the Israeli submachine guns, right? So funny.
At least he's not bitter.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So time for Final Judgment.
Final Judgment.
Okay. I usually say you go first. I'll go first this time.
Okay.
Okay. Go. So here's the thing. I know that I'm going to be in the minority in this. I'm confident that I'm going to be in the minority in this.
Woo.
Because I know, and I mean, giving it right away, I love both of these movies, but to me, he upped his game on movie number two.
Wow,
even though
okay.
John Cusack, you know, obviously hated it, I thought that he brought his botheredness that he had with Savage Steve Holland or whatever, it translated well into his character of Hoops. And then you increased the cast, in my opinion. I love Diane Franklin, but Demi Moore, better. And you've got Bobcat Goldthwait, funnier. You've got Joel Murray, funnier. You bring Curtis Armstrong back in an entirely different part, which is a nice juxtaposition with the crazy people that are there. I mean, in my humble opinion, I think that One Crazy Summer is more underappreciated than Better Off Dead. And so I'm saying my pick of these two is One Crazy Summer.
Wow. All I have to say to that is... Okay, let me just tell you, I'm shocked at that. I think Better Off Dead is clearly the funnier movie. I think it's more genuine. I think the love story works better. I think Monique and Lane fit better than the 1986 version of Demi Moore and John Cusack. So for me, that story just works a little bit better. I do love both of these movies. I think One Crazy Summer is a little bit more absurd, but it's so fun and funny. But mark me down for Better Off Dead. All right.
Yeah. So guys, tell us, what do you think? I'm confident that Jason's going to get more votes his way on this one, but that's okay. If you love One Crazy Summer, let me know that I'm not alone.
D, next week.
Yeah.
We are starting a incredible three-way combination here.
Oh, this is the beginning.
We are doing Genesis.
The beginning.
Invisible Touch.
Yep.
Versus.
So.
By Peter Gabriel. And.
No Jacket Required by Phil Collins.
It's going to be awesome.
Yes, it is. And we will have our dear friend and Patreon member, Chad Briggs, back with us to talk about Peter Gabriel and So. If you don't know, Chad Briggs is the guy who hit us up and said, hey, War Games was very influential on me. You guys should do that. And we're like, hey, come do it with us. Not knowing that he actually does War Games as his profession.
That's right.
Holy cow, what a great episode that was. And what a great friend and fan Chad is. He is over in the Philippines. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that. He is over in the Pacific doing cool things and sends us pictures of some of the incredible things that he's doing over there and some of the movie stuff that he's got over there. So I'm excited to have him back to talk about Peter Gabriel. It'd be fun.
It's going to be great. Come back for that next week. Yep. All right, D, I got a quick question for you.
Okay.
Rank these four.
Okay.
Cookie, Cassandra, Beth, Monique.
Okay.
In 1986.
This may surprise you, actually.
Oh, all right.
Okay, so hit me. Lowest on my list is Cassandra, is Demi Moore.
Woo-wee.
I mean, I dug her and all.
The hippie thing?
The corn husks, or what are is that what they're called?
Right.
But she's, I mean, if I'm just viewing from afar. Now, if we take the character, she's a guitar player, then she's going up higher on the list. But if we're just going by, like, I just see her at the bar, she's number four.
Okay.
Number three is going to be Cookie. She's a beautiful blonde, but she's just not my kind of type.
Okay.
And then that's followed by another beautiful blonde, Amanda Wiss, who's, again, just not really my type. Number one for me is Diane Franklin. I like Monique. She is cute. She is French.
Language lessons. She is French.
And she's very lovable and just has a kind, her eyes are very kind. So I'm picking Monique as my top choice. Yeah.
All right.
How about you?
Well, so I got Beth at number four. Lane needed to cut her loose a long time before that. Right?
Okay.
Okay. Number three for me is going to be Demi Moore.
Yeah,
Cassandra.
Yeah,
I like the hippie thing, but this is before she really sprouts into the best version of herself.
Blossoms, if you will. Yes.
Okay. Number two, I've got Cookie. Mm-hmm. She is rocking that swimsuit, and she looks great.
Yeah.
Okay. And number one for me, it's Monique.
We're in agreement.
We love the language lessons.
We do.
Yep. We want to hear from you. How do you rank these four?
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.